If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You found Atomic Android Radio.
Previously on In Universe.
Hello and welcome to In Universe. We talk the ins and outs of our favorite fictional universe. I'm Adam.
I'm Andrew.
And today we're talking Daredevil.
The Lego Marvel Daily Bugle is coming out and Daredevil's in that. And I might talk about that at some point. That would be important.
That's why I like the show. Action.
Yeah, that's literally because I'm not a big drama guy.
I'm a huge drama guy. Yeah, yeah, no, I still got into the show for the action.
Yeah, this show is basically a drama with really good superhero,
amazingly
like,
choreographed action.
Yeah,
it's called Doggy Poo, and it's about a little piece of dog poo that is alive and wants to like find its purpose in life. Hey. We're crying over a piece of dog shit. And from that point on, I've never been able to cry at a movie again.
This is probably almost as bad as your fucking
doggy poo, yeah.
But I just finished How I Met Your Mother.
Full circle, baby.
Fuck, I'm good at wrapping it back around.
But yeah, no, the action in Daredevil rules. And I think it's hindered the more comic booky it tries to be.
Yeah, no, because the main reason I think I didn't watch beyond season two or whatever was because you were talking about it. And one of the biggest, the scene I disliked, like I genuinely disliked the most is in season one. When he's just fighting that ninja.
He's fighting Nobu, yeah.
And the fighting, like the action just drops significantly. And like to the point where I was like, I'm actually not enjoying this.
Yeah.
And then you were like, yeah, it sort of just all becomes that for a while. Like I think it was.
And you said it actually gets worse.
Season two.
Because in the Nobu fight, it is a little boring, but at least there's like Matt gets fucked up and he gets like knives stabbed and dragged around. And then there's a cool like when Nobu gets set on fire and then still fights Matt while on fire. That's all right. But like for the most part, it's like, what are you doing? But yeah, at the second half of season two, the Hand becomes like the big antagonist. Mm-hmm. And so every fight is kind of just like ninjas, and it's really boring.
Because
then it becomes more like say Iron Fist or even like the Arrowverse kind of fighting. And I hate that.
Well, yeah, and it's ninjas. You could have cool ninja, but you just do martial. Bruce Lee was a guy.
Yeah. Look, he was a very exceptional guy. Not every actor is going to be Bruce Lee.
But I'm saying you could do, like, martial arts movies are a big thing that people enjoy.
Yeah.
You could do ninja fighting and have it be fun and entertaining and everything. But it just wasn't. You could tell, like, well, at least with that, and I think I've seen a couple of the, like, other hand shit on YouTube, like the clips, that you could tell that it's, like, people, like, this isn't what they're going for. Like,
yeah, they are stuntmen trained in, like, regular.
They want to brawl.
Yeah, they're usually playing goons, who swing punches and haymakers and shit, which is what they're trained to do. They're not trained to, like, do a little flip with a katana.
Yeah, which I'm not against, because that's a big part of Daredevil is the hand and, yes, like, all this ninja shit. So I'm not against doing that. It's just, it seems like they really half-assed doing that.
And I think it's because they kind of had to, because the Defenders was coming up so soon.
Yeah,
they had to quickly tie it in.
Yeah,
the hand is the big Defenders thing.
Yeah,
that's all of the Defenders.
Yeah, it was probably Venom and Spider-Man 3 situation. Yeah. Where it was like, yeah, I guess I have to do this, but I'm not going to put that much effort into
it. Right. It was because I know they talked about how, like, they shot and wrote the season like it was two separate seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't think they come right out and say it, but reading some of the way they talk about it, it's clear that they kind of just wanted to do Punisher the whole season.
Yeah.
But, like, couldn't because of the studio, mm-hmm, or whatever. And so they did the hand, and it was just so rushed that even if they wanted to do, like, a really good job with the hand, they didn't have the time. And yeah, no, the hand is just fair. Like, even in the comics, I find the hand a little bit of a boring villain.
Yeah, I mean, they're just generic ninjas for, yeah, the most part.
They're generic, like, they're not, ninjas, they're not, and they even come back to life.
There's a theme about ninjas, or, I don't know, because Ninja Turtles has a bit of fun with it. There's a theme about ninjas where they're not that fun of a goon. Like, I'm a big fan of a supervillain goon. Like, give me fucking an AIM agent or a fucking Dr. Doom, Doombot repairman.
Yeah.
Or,
but just like a mook from, like, a,
yeah, even a guy who works for the Joker. And I fucking enjoy the shit out of these goons. They're like, yeah, this is my job. This is what I do for a living. Like, one of my favorite things, I think we might have talked about it in the Batman episodes. One of my favorite goon moments ever is in, I think it's in
Return of the Batwoman, I think.
It's either in Batwoman or it's in Return of the Joker, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker.
Where the goon opens the door, yeah, and sees Batman. That's Batwoman, I think.
Yeah, okay. Or, yeah, Batman's in a room yeah, it is Batwoman, because the goon is one of her bodyguards. But yeah, so Batman's in a room, like, doing his little investigating shit. The goon opens the door, makes hard eye contact with Batman, just kind of like, nope, closes the door, starts to walk away. His friend's like, was there anything in there? He's like, nope.
And just leaves. He leaves. Like, the whole building and it rolls.
Like, I fucking love that kind of shit with goons. But with, like, when they're ninjas, you don't get that same kind of, like, vibe.
You don't get personality. Like, they're kind of just disposable ninjas, which sucks.
Yeah, but with Ninja Turtles, I was saying, which are based on the hand.
Oh, yeah. They're the foot plan instead of the hand.
Yeah, but because they're having fun with it, a lot of the times the foot and everything are just, like, basically goons that they hired and dress as ninjas.
I mean, yeah, even in, like, the movie, they're just, like, kids.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of teens hanging out.
But yeah, so in the second season, they get real into the hand to tie into the Defenders, which is when the show kind of drops pretty hard. Like, like I said, it's one of my, it's a show I really like, and it's a character I really like. So, like, it's real high. Like, it gets pretty high, and then just, like, a roller coaster drops straight fucking down.
Yeah, no, one, I've seen someone say this online. Context clues, is, I'm guessing they're talking about that bit, is, I've seen someone go, when did Daredevil become a CW show?
Yes, it definitely feels that way. Like,
yeah.
Another character I really like is Constantine, and he had his own show for a while that I also really liked. But then they added him to the CW verse in Arrow and then in Legends of Tomorrow. And in Arrow specifically, it's one of the few Arrow episodes I watch because I like Constantine that much. They have him fight some Ra's al Ghul ninjas. And he's like, it's a little sword fight with some pretty shitty choreography because Matt Walsh, the actor, is not that kind of actor. No.
And Constantine doesn't need to be. No. Constantine can pull out a little card and huck it at someone, and then like it touches their chest and they light up on fire.
Exactly. But instead he like summons a fire sword or whatever. It's the worst. I hate it. And
no, that's fair.
It's so much like when the hand shows up in this. It's real lame. And then the Defenders happens with the Daredevil. And the Defenders is also not great. It's I don't know. I don't
do
like it very
much. People
call
Daredevil Double D. They should.
I don't think they do, but yeah, no, like Ed, Ed and Eddie. Yeah.
Yeah, like Ed, Ed and Eddie.
But yeah, Defenders. I didn't like heaps. I mean, I like Daredevil in it, although the writers are different, so it's a little weird when he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm super cool with dropping a building on these guys."
Yeah. No.
Oh.
One of all the Defenders, the other one I was most interested in, and which I've seen some pretty cool stuff with, is Luke Cage.
Yes, I just was gonna watch the show Luke Cage after off the back of rewatching Daredevil. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like most of that show is just not great.
Yeah. No. It seems like the little bits of Luke Cage, like the classic hit Luke Cage with the fucking pipe and it bends or break your fucking knuckles on his teeth. But like, that's just always going to be fun. The thing I like about Luke Cage is because he's got the thing where it happens with Superman, but it's very rarely, because most people now know you don't hit Superman.
Yeah,
because
punching him unless you're already as strong as him isn't.
And whenever someone goes for that, like the classic shoot him in the face or like take a swing at him, I always love that shit, but it barely happens anymore. But Luke Cage, not too many people know that. Like,
he just looks like a guy.
He's just a guy.
Like, he's not even usually wearing like a superhero costume. Like, even in the comics, he's kind of just wearing like a yellow t-shirt.
They should have given him the class. I know they did it as a little Easter egg.
Yeah.
Oh, how goofy is this? But they should give him the fucking bright ass yellow t-shirt, the parachute pants, tiara shit, and the chain belt.
Oh my god, that would be so cool. I unironically love that outfit so much. It's so cool.
It's pretty
cool.
Good.
It's so the 70s, but it's real cool.
Although it is really the 70s black guy.
Oh, yeah. It's like from Soul Train.
Yeah.
Oh, but like it rules.
Yeah, no.
I would wear that shit if I could pull it off. I can't. I'm too chubby. But but after the Defenders, I think the Daredevil writers had like a really, they had a pretty steep task ahead of them to like, tie this into Defenders, but also do something good instead of bad.
Yeah.
Which in season 3, they definitely just do. Like, I know we were saying comic booky is when it tends to get bad. And it does, especially with the hand. But like, Bullseye's abilities, in air quotes, are about as comic booky as it gets.
Yeah, no, that's one. When it's like a bit wacky, I don't know. I could envision the line in my head, but I don't know if I can.
It's a line in the sand.
Yeah, but I will always. I don't care how fucking serious you try and get it. If you got a main villain and that villain's got a comic booky ass like fucking like gimmick, and you do that, even if it is like throughout all of Daredevil, you see Stiltman stilts in, being slowly built.
And Melvin Potter's like little workshop, this Stiltman's outfit, and
I'm like, fuck, please give me Stiltman.
Oh,
please give me
Stiltman. Stiltman would be so funny.
But in my head,
all I'm hitting is the Malcolm in the Middle episode where it's the two, when they're both on stilts and they're fighting.
Yeah, it's the fucking Uncle Sam dude and Malcolm. And he's like, this guy's like crazy good on these stilts.
that's all I'm thinking of with Stilt Man.
Fuck. But yeah, I fucking absolutely love a little supervillain gimmick. And you give me a guy whose main thing is, I'll hook a stapler at you real good, and I'm all in for it.
And they do a good job with it. It's not like, it takes a little bit of suspension of disbelief. Sure. Like, in one of the scenes, he's throwing like pens through a like thin desk. Like it's a thin desk, but he's throwing the pens through it. And it's like, whoa, what the f-?
Those are like, sharp ass pens.
Yeah. Or like at one moment he's fighting with Daredevil and they get into like a little bit too close for his comfort because he's a long range fighter. And he's like fighting him and wrestling him, and he grabs a pair of scissors and just kind of whoop, throws them up high enough so they fall and stab him in the shoulder pretty bad.
That's pretty good. Look, I don't care how good this Bullseye is, though. He will never be as good as 2000.
Yeah, he'll never be as good as what, Colin Farrell? Is
that his name? Yeah. The Irish fucking Bullseye. He's fucking, he was Irish.
It's Colin Farrell's Irish.
Pissed off Irishman with a fucking Bullseye. Like, was it burned into his head,
it's
or
like
tattooed?
Into his head.
Oh, okay. Fuck. That's so good. He was wearing a fucking Matrix trench coat for like most of it.
Was he mostly shirtless, or am I just imagining
he should have been mostly shirtless, but I think he might. I could be wrong.
Maybe he wearing like a tank top or something.
I think he might have been wearing a shirt.
He's so gross in that movie too. Like I don't know who directed that movie. I should know. I love this movie, but just how gross. Like the director must have been like, "Hey man, I don't think you're playing this sleazy enough. Can you try greasing up a little bit?
Can you try just a bit more sex pest?"
Yeah, he's got mad sex pest energy. Like I said, I love that movie, and it's mostly because it's really dumb, and I saw it when I was like 4 years old. But I like Daredevil. I've always liked Daredevil.
I can't talk shit. I fucking love the fucking Spawn movie.
Oh, Jesus. That movie's not good at all.
Oh, I don't know. I think people might agree it's about on par with Daredevil.
Look, probably. But there are some really good parts of Daredevil, like Kingpin played by, I think it's Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, or the part the late where Michael they were Clark like Duncan. Playing like basketball in the park. And
yeah, that rules.
Like a rap music video type deal. Yeah, that's pretty good.
They didn't play basketball. I think you're thinking of Catwoman. They are at a park though, and they're fighting at a park.
Oh yeah, okay.
Him and Elektra.
That movie is very real Catwoman. In my head, because I was like, no, it can't be. In my head, they're dancing.
No, they are fighting.
He does a bit of a tango on a seesaw.
Okay, like, they are fighting, but it's a bit of a dance fight.
Yeah, okay.
But the late Michael Clark Duncan rules in that movie. He's a great Kingpin. And he's fucking massive, so like he really sells the intimidation of it. And that last fight scene is pretty brutal and rules. Like,
yeah,
it'll be pretty good. I'll die on that hill. And I will die because it's not a hill that's easily defended.
It's no Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider, but I guess I can see where you're coming from.
But that's
fuck,
the other thing.
I miss early 2000s Marvel.
Me too. I miss like Ang Lee's Hulk. Fucking rule. I love Ang Lee's Hulk so much.
When he just fucking fights those dogs.
He fights those dogs. Those Hulk dogs rule.
Ang Lee's Hulk has my favorite quote in any movie ever.
This is the quote we quote to each other and to our friends. Far more than I think anybody ever will.
Anytime, like, anybody around us says words even close to, like, take it. Like, if they're handing you something.
They're like, here, take this.
Yeah, like.
Take it. Take it all.
Take it all. And we'll just yell this.
And that's a joke, like, only we get. Very few people remember Ang Lee's Hulk.
Look, I think if more people got on that
it's great. It's the best joke we've ever made.
That too, but I'm saying, like, people, like, I think that could be, Like, a lot of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man has recently been memed pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's, they're really fucking
I
good.
Love the Tobey Maguire meme.
But I'm saying, I feel
hit
like...
Hit me with some Ang Lee Hulk memes.
Yeah, hit me with those fucking Ang Lee Hulk memes. No, one fucking thing I absolutely hope it gets like big as like a meme and everything is a while ago we were in a pool with some friends and we were wrestling. This guy we know, Brandon, I'm wrestling
oh,
with him.
Yeah.
And he's got a pool noodle.
I love this.
And he starts slamming me with a pool noodle. And it's to the point where I'm like almost drowning.
Yeah, you're
and
screaming.
I, and
give
I
me a
bang
chance.
Him. I legitimately bang him. Give me a chance. Just give me a chance. No hesitation. He looks
yeah, without
dead
missing
in the
a beat
eyes.
At all.
He yells, "What about my uncle? Did you give him a chance?" Starts fucking wailing on me with the pool noodle.
I was sitting like very close by and I just started dying of laughing.
Yeah, no,
like, I could barely
keep
myself floating. I was laughing
yeah,
so
I'm
much.
Having a hard time breathing because he's slamming me with this pool noodle. I'm ducking my head underwater to not get slammed. And now I'm fucking laughing my ass off during, and I almost fucking died. That movie, there's so many fucking good quotes in that just movie in general. Man. Like, one of my favorites is when they're passing, it's in Spider-Man 2, they're passing his body down, and they put him down, and like, oh my god, he's just a kid. And one guy goes, oh, he's no older than my son.
Yeah,
and
he's just a kid. No older than my son.
And when someone's like, that's like a 30-year-old man on the floor. What are you talking about? How old's your fucking son?
Yeah.
Fuck,
shit like that for the Daredevil 2003 movie, like them fighting in the park or kissing in the rain, which like has never like that looks awful. Like they're being hosed down with water.
Oh yeah, kiss. No. It's a big moment, but in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, the upside down kiss looks so unpleasant. They're absolutely drenched. You know he's legitimately drowning because he's upside down
into his nose,
with
yeah.
water pouring into his nose. Her fucking, for some reason, her nipples are hard as a rock and you can see
cold.
Them through her shirt. And it's just
should
such
be wearing a bra.
Yeah, it's just such an awkward ass scene. And it's like, why did this get so popular? This is almost disgusting.
I do like the direction that they took in the Netflix show as opposed to the 2003 one. In 2003 one, they really focused hard on sound as how he sees.
Yeah,
it's basically just echolocation. Mm-hmm. And that's why if like he needed to hit something to make the noise so he could see around him.
Yeah, which for like a movie is it could bring up some like interesting scenarios you could do.
Yeah, it's not awful or like bad by any means, but I think that the way that they do it in the Netflix show, one, is closer to the comics, and two, I think is just sort of, it makes a little more sense to me. It's not like, oh, he's got like far too sensitive ears. It's, he's got really sensitive ears, but he's also got a sensitive sense of smell and like temperature
his,
and
every sense. Like literally all his senses dialed up to 11 is and, pretty good. And does he have the full radar sense in the show?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I can't, because I know he's got the world on fire deal,
yes, which
is a
go
really
all the
cool
way around
image.
Him. Yeah, it rules. And it's all the way around him. That's how he like always moves out of the way. And
yeah, then I guess that is basically the radar.
Yeah, they just
sense.
Never show it full 360 degree all the way around him at all times. Mm-hmm. But they do really good. They do really like interesting ways to show like his senses and how he uses them. Like it's in the second episode, Cut Man, where he's pretty badly injured, and he's sitting on the couch and he's like, "There's someone coming. I can smell their really bad
cologne." They're fucking
three
shit.
Floors down.
I fucking love that shit.
All
right, where he, I think that's the part where he grabs a fucking fire.
I was just gonna get into
and
it.
And holds it over the thing and
like,
waits for the
doing?
Guy. And he just like, wait, and then drops
it. Yeah, and he knocks him the fuck out.
Yeah. No, that's so fucking good.
Oh no, that episode is probably the best episode of the entire show, like just in general. That episode rules. It's got the hallway fight, It's got that bit, which is pretty funny. It's got Night Nurse, which I always thought was pretty cool. But there's a really good bit just after the hallway fight that I don't think comes up as often as I think it maybe should. And it's he's about to go in to rescue the little kid, boy. Yeah,
where he
and
pulls he lifts the mask. The mask.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love superheroes dealing with like kids. Yeah, and things.
Being compassionate, it rules.
Yeah, one of my favorite things. Like, it's not one of my favorite.
Oh, I know what you're about to get into.
But one of my favorite on the moments bridge. In any Spider-Man is in Amazing Spider-Man 1 when he's holding that car up, and you can tell he's really fucking struggling with it. He's holding Web in one hand, he's holding the car with the other, and like kid's like hanging at the front of the car, and he has it like he's got the mask off. He's like, put on the mask, it'll make you strong.
Yeah, and so the kid climbs out.
Yeah,
of the car.
And the kid puts the mask on, and the music fucking swells, and the kid starts climbing up.
And he still and has to grab him.
Yeah,
like,
and that one second where the car, I think the bumper breaks out, which he's
the
holding.
The part that he's holding
and,
on to tears.
And you could see his heart absolutely drops, and he's like, oh my God. And he grabs the kid, and I'm like, oh, it's fucking good.
It's an amazing scene in an otherwise not amazing movie.
Opposed to its name.
Yeah,
that movie's got some pretty.
It's got some really good like Spider-Man bits where it swings and stuff.
Yeah, that too. But just some like little scenes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, but I mean, this is one of my favorite scenes from the. I think it's the second one where he's like, I was cleaning the chimney. You don't have a chimney.
Yeah, he's absolutely covered in ash, and she's like, "What's wrong with you? You're absolutely like you're dirty ass." And he's like, "Yeah, I was just cleaning the chimney," and she's like, "We don't have a chimney." Like, what?
Yeah, he's like, "What?"
Yeah, his interactions with Aunt May and those.
Oh yeah,
like I love the shit. I don't know if it's before or after where he's trying to do his laundry, and she's "Give me that shit." Last time you got all the fucking laundry like dyed red and blue, and she's like, "How would you even do that?" He's like, "I was washing the American flag." She's like, "Nobody washes the American flag."
Tangent. Just because. For some reason, this is applicable to me. I have like a massive American flag that I actually use as like a comforter sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I have had to wash an American flag.
That's pretty good.
Which rules. Although I never stained everything red and blue because I'm not a fucking idiot.
Yeah. No, maybe it's just a little first world. Problems middle class brag, but I don't know how you dye clothes like that. Like I've not separated my whites before, and that's not really happened. Is it like bleach
will do that. Oh. It's usually reds and whites. Not usually another color. Okay, I think it can be, but for the most part, it's if you're washing reds and whites and you use bleach, easy way to turn all of your whites into pinks. In fact, I've seen it happen. Like, a family member has washed clothes poorly, and all of his white socks turned into pink socks.
Fuck it, dude! I do have a pair of pink socks. I think they're my favorite socks, only because how comfy they are.
Look, fair. That's what you want in socks. That are like, not too sweaty.
Yeah, no, these socks are—they're like thin. They're a bit too long for my taste, but I could look past. For all the other benefits, and they're like really comfy. I got another pair that I was gifted by a friend of hot dogs. I don't even like hot dogs. Just in school, in the I was a part of the FFA, so the Future Farmers of America.
big farming nerd.
Well, I'll have you know, I only did it because I didn't want to do PE.
Oh yeah, like a big nerd.
But yeah,
being in the FFA like all 4 years of high school.
Yeah, no, I was there for all four, to the point where I got an FFA slash during my graduation. But in FFA, everybody called me D-Dog.
If I recall correctly, because you lied and said that was a thing people called you.
So the teacher, it was the first day of class, and the teacher was like, if you have any nicknames or anything that people call you, just tell me and I'll call you that. And as a joke, I was like, oh, everybody calls me D-Dog, which my name has nothing to do with. Like, I got a D, the third letter in my name.
And no one called you D-Dog.
And nobody called me D-Dog. I did it as a joke. And she said, and I quote, I'm not going to call you D-Dog. I was called D-Dog for the next 3 years of my life.
Oh, yeah. And
because of that, they gave me, my friend Christina gave me a pair of socks that had hot dogs on them, which was never the dog I was envisioning.
I imagined like an actual dog.
Yeah. No.
Like a pug. I imagined a pug.
One of my favorite bits with that was we were at a fair one time. So it's a bunch of different schools, all their FFA groups going around. And I would just go around to random people and make up some bullshit and be like,
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Did you guys hear this guy about this thing about D-Dog? I guess he was like doing backflips off the haystack. And I did that enough to the point I was sitting there listening to it was like one of the like presentations thing. And I hear like behind me and adjacently, like, who the fuck is D-Dog? I was like, I didn't bring it up. Someone obviously brought it up later. And that made my fucking year, man. I was so excited.
That's very good. Oh, but yeah, back to Daredevil.
The original D-Dog.
Yeah, D-Dog. That's what Daredevil stands for.
That's what the D's on his chest stand for.
Yeah.
Which, look, that's one thing about
it's kinda, he's got a really crappy
he's got emblem. A pretty lame symbol.
That's like, why I don't like, I prefer in the show where he just doesn't have a symbol. I don't think he really needs one.
I don't think he needs one on his chest. I think it's a fine one to like denote who he is when you're like, oh, here's all the logos of the superheroes. Yeah. But I don't think he needs to wear a massive D on his chest like that. especially for a grounded show. But I will say, for classic old like Daredevil images, him having that does give a really nostalgic, is Daredevil.
Oh, I'm so surprised they don't, I don't think they ever do his classic yellow suit or even reference it at all.
Yeah, no, that's weird. That's one thing about Daredevil that I was always like, because he's got a lot of costume variations. Like he'll go through like the black one or like black ones or the yellow one.
The like black one with the mask without no eyes and wrapped hands. That's personally my favorite.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. But for a guy who can't see himself, he really cares about his fashion.
Oh, yeah. I guess the closest they come to referencing that is his dad's boxers like coat. This is Batman Jack Murdock or whatever.
Was it yellow?
It was bright red, but it had yellow on the outside.
Yeah,
and yellow words. Fair. Which I think is as close as I come to it.
And I do really like that. That's the bright Daredevil red.
Yeah.
That it's that. Because I don't think you should have done that for the actual suit of the
show. Yes.
Which I'll say, I really like the suit.
I like the suit better in the second season when they fix the head, because the head looks a little
weak. Yeah.
In the first end of the first season, but I really like that suit. I think it looks like tactical and it looks practical.
Yeah,
and we're the SWAT boys.
That's what. But one thing about Daredevil is I think it's a lot how he's inked, and especially with the 2003.
Oh suit. Yeah,
a lot of times he looks very like leathery, like in his like I think it's supposed to be spandex.
Yes,
but it's highlighted more like. It's highlighted more like it is with Venom than it is with Spider-Man. So like it's the shadows coming out more.
Yeah, I definitely can see that.
So it looks a lot more leathery than I think it should be, which especially with the 2003 makes him look very gimp-like.
Oh, he's so leathery in the 2003.
Yeah, which I very much appreciate that he looks much like that's not this suit at all. Like when I... Nowadays, when I think of like when I envision Daredevil, it's much more in line with this
yes.
than any other, really.
Which I think is good. Like, cause this, look in the comics, I really like Daredevil. I think
he's
cool. I think he looks cool, and with the right artist, his like regular suit looks cool. But it's a little silly if like done in real life.
Yeah, you got like for one, it's either. Head to toe spandex or leather.
Yeah.
It's and got a massive bright blood red, two massive D's on his chest, like he's describing his breast size. like sometimes they get pretty long with the horns, but even the stubby, it's whenever they have a curve to them.
Yeah.
Because like, sometimes they'll have it like it's straight on and it's hard to do like that curve, like. To show that the horns are coming off, so they curve it a bit, and I never like it, like that image with the like really curved.
Me neither. Horns. There's the suit he wears in the Shadowland arc, which is where he takes over the hand and becomes a villain for a little while. Where he's like full black suit.
Oh, like it's got those massive.
It's got horns massive on bull it. Horns,
yeah.
And
yeah,
it looks really bad.
Yeah, no, that's fair. One thing about Daredevil's design that I really flip-flop between on whether I like it or not is the red eyes on the red mask.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'm like, that it kind of doesn't pop really. Or it's hard, like it blends
it might be much. Hard to see with the red, with the wrong artist or whatever.
But sometimes I'm like, but that kind of, it's really cool as like a thing of, because heroes always, if they have the eyes, it's always white.
Yes.
But that's a cool thing to distinct him because his eyes are an important part of his character. Right. Having them be different. So I flip-flop on whether I like the red eyes or not.
I like it as long as it's like a distinct enough shade of red from the rest of
it cannot be the same like, red copy and paste.
Mark Waid, or the artist who works with him on that one, I think it's Chris Samnee, but don't quote me on that. The art style.
You gonna
quote me on that? No.
Sammy.
But the
Adam
the
Long 2021.
Shut the fuck up. That's a dumb joke. He does exactly the same shade. Like, the only thing that's different is he lines out the eye. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, oh, well, that kind of makes his head look like it's got the eyes drawn on. But it really does grow on you. I think his art style, because it's pretty cartoony. He's got a pretty stylized art style, and I think it works for that. But if you're going more grounded, yeah, it has to be a different shade.
Sometimes I really like just the eyeless Daredevil, but that does bring, like, the point you brought up earlier, where not all the villains and everything know Daredevil is blind.
Right.
So that kind of goes against that. But a lot of the times I've seen, especially some cool, like, fan arts and stuff with it, but I've seen some designs, and even in the show, the mask he wears to begin with is like,
and the one just, he takes back up in season three,
it's got the eyeless, and I'm a pretty big fan of that look.
I really like the black eyeless suit that he wears in the show. Mm-hmm. The first one I think is really cool as like a starter suit.
I think that's one of the best like superhero origin suits.
And I think they do a decent job of hinting at it, like, actually being like Daredevil. Like, it's got like red
stitching. Like stitch work. Yeah.
And then in season three, when he switches back to that, it's not exactly the same. It's basically just black clothes and the mask. Mm-hmm. Where he eventually he just wears like a Daredevil color red t-shirt underneath the black t-shirt, that their long sleeve shirt that he puts on. Mm-hmm. And then so it actually does spill out, but I think the black and white look really looks really like cool on him.
Yeah,
especially the wrapping around his hands and stuff. I've always liked that.
No, that's always cool, especially when that shit's got like blood splatter. No, that's one thing about the Defenders that I really disliked is none of the Defenders have a costume like that. So instead of
only Daredevil
costume, he's like grabbing like a scarf or whatever and wrapping it around his head and shit. And that he looks like a dumb shit.
That I don't mind. I would mind if that was all the time.
Yeah, like, being on the moment spot, it's like I usually like that kind of shit. Like with Spider-Man, like you'll see him, like he's like, oh shit, I don't have my suit. He'll web himself in the face and rip out eye holes.
Yeah. Like in, I think it's the most recent Daredevil comics, they have like where he's in like a police office and he's got to fight a bunch of dirty cops. And he was there as Matt Murdock. So he doesn't have his suit.
Yeah.
And so he like takes off his jacket, like wraps the thing around his face and like rolls up his sleeves and he gets two police batons and he's fighting and it rules. It looks really cool. So I think that could be cool, but like at a certain point when he's the only one in a superhero suit, it gets really weird.
Yeah, and all of them like have cool, like grounded style suits that you could do, except for maybe Luke Cage, because he doesn't have one in the comics.
In the comics nowadays, he just wears a bright yellow t-shirt.
Yeah, but like you could have, like, especially for like Iron Fist, you could have done the Iron Fist like, suit.
Although, and then I don't think the Iron Fist suit and like mask would look good on the guy that got to do Iron Fist. One, I just don't think he looks very good in the role. But two, it would basically just be a green and yellow version of the first Daredevil suit with weird little eye holes.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
although that would be a good, that'd be a pretty good bit if you see like Daredevil grab like a black scarf and tie his face up like that, and then if Iron Fist was
he's like, oh, I need to cover my face too.
He does a similar thing.
A yellow
he is yellow, and then he rips out the eye holes so he can see.
And he's like, oh, hold on, I gotta poke eye holes because I can't.
But yeah, you just stretch it forward and slam down.
Yeah, that's all right. I wouldn't hate that. It'd be a bit silly, but like I'd be.
And then maybe he gets it like that because of Daredevil. Like he does the one thing like that. And he's like, yeah, I should wear a mask. And he's like, oh, I got this. So let me just improve this.
Yeah, I get to see that. I think they should have done something. They all strike a weird silhouette when they're all together, especially when Daredevil's in full costume.
Yeah.
They're not.
And it's
not like Daredevil doesn't know a guy who could get them like bulletproof costumes.
Yeah, no, that too. But it's a weird thing for, because Daredevil is, feels like he should be the most grounded of the characters, because he doesn't have any powers or
yeah, he doesn't any have a glowy fist or
but the fact
body.
That he's the only one that dresses up in a costume is a bit weird.
It is. It's very weird. The other thing I wanted to talk about with Daredevil that we haven't really, we did a little bit with Michael Clark Duncan, but I really like Kingpin as a villain for Daredevil.
Oh yeah.
Like he started off as a Spider-Man villain and I like him there too, but
I really like the fact that he's a shared villain between the two. Like I think for one, he's a great villain.
Yes.
Like he's intimidating. He's an actual realistic threat to the both of them.
And he's smart. And that's and one thing I really
like. He's really smart. But I really enjoy this guy being the, like, it's a part of their friendship and being like, yeah, no, fuck this guy. Fuck Kingpin, right? He sucks.
And in the Netflix show, Vincent D'Onofrio does an amazing Wilson Fisk. No, he's great.
He's really good.
Like, it takes a little bit, and I think it turns some big Kingpin heads off at first, because he doesn't act like Kingpin at first. You know, he wears all black suits and he's kind of shy and soft spoken.
Yeah. But he's got character development.
Yeah, that's literally like the thing of the show, where he becomes more and more like Kingpin as it goes on, until in like season 3 he's in the full white suit hamming it up and it rules, because Vincent D'Onofrio is a very good actor and he pulls it off.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. Although I will say, I think my least favorite episode was the Kingpin centric one, where it had a lot of flashbacks showing his origin story of him being like a boy and everything. But other than that, I really like this Kingpin. It's a real bittersweet bit for me how massive he's not. Like I'm it works.
He's a real life person. Yeah, so he's can't be the size of a fridge.
So he shouldn't be that big, and it's like this like realistic setting and whatnot. But man, do I love me brick wall fucking Kingpin.
If only he could be into the Spider versus Kingpin.
Fucking have his head below his shoulders. Oh fuck, I would love that.
But no, I think he does a great job.
Daredevil is one of those like, I don't want to say side hero, the lesser B grade heroes or whatever.
Yeah.
That actually has a pretty like good number of like rogues and whatnot.
Yeah, I think we brought this up before. I don't know if it was on air or not, but we've brought this up before just personally, how Marvel has a bit of a rogues gallery problem.
Yeah, Spider-Man's got a good amount of good ones.
Daredevil's got a handful, if we're being generous.
Yeah, Daredevil's got a handful. But the big problem with Marvel is that maybe it's not a problem. The distinction in Marvel, I would say, is that they have a lot of big villains that are sort of villains to everybody. Like Dr. Doom, yes, he's a Fantastic Four
villain.
But
he's also like just whoever's around.
But he's also an Avengers villain and a Spider-Man villain. He's a Marvel villain.
Right. And then Osborn started off as a Spider-Man villain, but kind of just became an everybody villain with Dark Reign and stuff.
But that's an approach I will say I don't necessarily hate, but you do feel like you're missing something when you look at a specific hero and you're like, oh, well, they don't have that many like cool villains.
Yeah. And like, I will say there are diminishing returns, because if every single villain becomes like a big tentpole villain, you don't get a decent amount of like mid-grade villains that you could just fight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's how you get shit like Daredevil has to fight Electro, because there's not that many like street-level supervillains. Or like everybody has to fight the Absorbing Man, because there are so few like decent villains they can pull from. Or why like Titanium Man like barely gets any play and shit like that. So Marvel ends up just recycling the same villains that they kind of use all the time.
Yeah. It's something that needs to, I don't think it's necessarily bad, their approach, but it does need to be tweaked a bit, as opposed to DC, where almost every of the main, at least, like superhero cast has their own, at least the same amount as Daredevil, of good villains.
Yeah. I mean,
like you even go somewhere as small like Firestorm.
Firestorm's got a heap of villains. Yeah,
he's got a good amount of like cool ass villains. But like Green Lantern's got his own rogues gallery, mostly other lanterns, but not always. Flash has a really good one. Batman and Flash are probably got the two best.
Yeah.
Superman right up there behind them.
Right. And Wonder Woman sort of towards the end, she doesn't have a great one. But they have been working on that. She's gotten some pretty cool ones as of late, but.
Yeah, but yeah, it does some have to feel like something that has to be worked on. But then that's also a thing. It's really hard. Maybe this is just me, because maybe a bunch of people disagree with me liking these new ones. But for me, I think it's really hard to like make up a new villain and have them feel like they should be there.
Mm-hmm. I get
like,
that.
I felt it a lot with Batman as of late. Like,
yeah,
there's like the new Ghostmaker and Punchline and Clown Killer and like even all the fucking Dark Knights metal, like Barbatos and look, the Batman Who Laughs.
You're gonna get I think we made it clear on this show how much I dislike Scott Snyder and Tom King's writing.
But it's really hard for a new villain to pop up in both Marvel and DC, and for me to be like, "Ooh, I like this new addition to their rogues gallery," instead of being like, "Okay, when's this guy gonna disappear?"
I think it just depends on the character. Like I was saying with Wonder Woman, because she doesn't have a great rogues gallery, I'm much more open to it. Because you're not like with Batman, you're trying to slide in this new character into this huge tapestry of villainy. Whereas with Wonder Woman, it's like, what you got, like Dr. Psycho, you got Greek mythology,
which I think looking at it on like on the other side with Marvel, Spider-Man and Daredevil could be in a really similar boat. Like, yeah, I think Daredevil would be pretty open to some like new like pretty good rogues gallery to be added. Like,
I think Daredevil could definitely get some new blood in there and it'd be good. Like they did that with Echo,
it would be much harder.
Where I think Echo is a pretty recent addition, but I think a really cool one, and not necessarily a villain, even though, and it's a thing that comes up heaps in Marvel for some reason. A lot of characters have Taskmaster's ability, lot of characters. And Echo is one of them. Her ability is she does what Taskmaster does, but also she's deaf, which I think is cool and a good counter to Daredevil. But it is still lame. Like, oh, so it's another Taskmaster, huh?
Yeah, and Taskmaster is such a cool like idea. Like it should be a cool, unique idea, but they kind of just keep doing it.
Yeah. Like off the top of my head, there's Echo, and then there's what I think Finesse, who was a young in the I think Avengers Academy, who had the same powers as Taskmaster, and I think they hint that she's supposed to be Taskmaster's daughter, but they never get into it heaps. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not big on it. It'd be like if heaps of people had like I don't know riddles or something.
But why is everybody fucking coming up to me and asking me riddles? I'm the Riddler.
I do think the overlap between Spider-Man and Daredevil villains, at least, I think works a little bit better than some of the other.
They really transfer over pretty well,
like Black Cat, or
Kingpin is the big one that they share.
Electro is one that comes up pretty often. Mm-hmm. I think Shocker at least once.
I always think Shocker would be.
I think Shocker is a decent Daredevil. One that I didn't think about but came up in, I think it's the Mark Waid or the one before it run. Daredevil fights the Spot. And that one's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Because Daredevil...
I'm not big on the spot.
No, I'm not either. And I don't think anybody is. That's why they can kind of just throw him where they want. But in this one, Spot's going to assassinate somebody and Daredevil's trying to stop them. And he's fighting him, but because he can teleport, it makes his radar sense, like, one, super useful, but also have to be, like, on its toes. Because he can pop up from any direction. Mm-hmm. And every time there's a spot somewhere, his radar sense just hits it as, like, a void. So he's like, it's, like, literally blind spots.
Yeah, that's a cool little detail. Yeah, because that's one thing is the radar sense and the spider sense are very similar utility-wise.
I think it's because when Stan Lee and, was it Jack Kirby? Was it somebody else? Ditko, him and Ditko.
Daredevil?
For Spider-Man. Him and Ditko made Spider-Man. And then Stanley needed to make another character. And he's like, what if I just kind of did Spider-Man again, but like slightly different? And that's how Daredevil was made, because they're super similar.
Yeah,
super acrobatic, swinging around, has essentially the same sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is a problem.
Just because that's where it started, I think
they definitely branched out from there.
And them having the similarities is kind of a strength that they share. Like we said, with their relationship and everything, I think it's a good bonding point. I think we might have been going for a while now.
Oh, yeah. We should probably wrap it up.
Yeah.
So I think that's just about covers Daredevil for today, at least. We might come back. We might not. Probably not.
I don't know. There's not much Daredevil.
Yeah, we kind of covered Daredevil.
We could have come back for the 2003.
And maybe we will. Maybe we'll watch the 2003 movie.
I haven't seen it since I was maybe 7.
I saw it first when I was like 4, and I think I've watched it at least once every year since then.
You fucking animal.
It rules. I love that movie. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. All the normal shambles. Yeah,
we're on Twitter at Atomic Androids. We're on Instagram at Atomic Android 2020. And you can email us at theatomicemail@gmail.com.
Yes. We did talk about YouTube like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Ages ago, yeah.
I'm having a hard time finding a visual thing to add in for the MP. Like I could just do soundbar and everything, but I don't think that many people really care at the moment. So I'd rather just nail it down and get it out there. I'll work on it.
But look, if you're clamoring for our YouTube content, let us know.
Yeah,
all right, kick us in the pants. Maybe we'll actually fucking get this done.
If we get one person where we're like, okay, well, we got to do it for this guy or gal.
That could be you.
Or they.
Yeah, whoever you are. Is there
like a non-gendered version of like, maybe pal? Yeah, we'll go.
Yeah,
with
guy,
pal.
Gal, and pal.
Guy, gal, and pal.
Yeah.
I like that. So if there's any guy, gal, or pal out there who's really clamoring for that YouTube, we'll do it for you.
Yeah.
You just gotta tell us.
Tell us. Actually, pull up an email and send
it. We told you how to contact us.
Do it.
It's on
Fuck
you
now.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
He did mean that. You didn't see the rage in his eyes.
I was filled with rage. Bye.
But yeah, no, I wanted, you don't need to be so fucking jumpy about it. I had a good time here today. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to our two-part Daredevil special, I guess. Let us know if you would want any more Daredevil, because I do.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact,
you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.